What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready. Hi, welcome back to another episode of What is TWS Podcast. This is episode 73. Moving on up there. As always, I am J-Dot Flan, and across from me is my brother, Rich Nerd.
What it do?
And we are the White Pants Society, and this is the What is TWS Podcast. I don't know, man. So Thad the Millennial has gone back to Maryland. It's just me and Rich this episode. Like, no diss to Thad. Like, I just, because he'll understand this when he gets older. But no matter how much you love someone or you care about them or their family or whatever, you are happy to have your motherfucking house back when they are gone. So peace to Thad. But I wasn't celebrating a little bit. Good riddance, nigga.
Anyway, that's exactly how your parents feel when they be like, they sad when like you leaving to go off to college.
Right.
But low key, they be having a little bit of excitement. I ain't got to pay for shit right now.
They got a party scheduled for that afternoon. They cry in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And by that night, they dancing. They got the Lionel Richie playing. But anyway, man, I guess we should just get into it. Let's pay the bills first. TTCharities.org. Please check out my man's website. Donate in any way you can help. Donate time, money, clothes, books. Toys, whatever it is they need at the time. TT Charities, definitely out there on the front lines taking care of our brothers and sisters. So anything you can do is always a help, even if it's just a repost or retweet. But definitely check out ttcharities.org, see what programs they have going on right now and how you could possibly help. RenasCakeys.com. Rena's Cakeys, everything there is delicious. I think I reposted a picture today of some Petite Fours. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. I don't know what they are, but they look bomb and I want one. But they specialize in cakeys. If you don't know what a cakey is, it is the size and shape of a cookie, but the texture of a cake with icing on it. They come in about six different flavors and they're all delicious. But beyond that, she makes pies.
Yeah, she definitely is a certified real baker. Everything going on in that kitchen.
And it's all good. And she decorated my daughter's birthday cake. Elmo and Abby. She does wedding cakes. She does everything. So if you need something, check out RenasCakeys.com. That's R-I-N-A-S Cakeys.com. Last but not least, our brother Alex and CelebrityHairCorp.com. Get all of your human hair extensions taken care of there with the added benefit of free shipping and no tax. Let them make you look like the star that you are. CelebrityHairCorp.com. All right, bills paid. What's going on with you, brother?
Not much. Just another day. Bronchitis still slowly kicking my ass, but I ain't giving a man no more of my money right now. I gave this man too much money. I'm going without the drugs. I don't care.
Sometimes you gotta be that way. I don't know. I ain't even gonna get on my medical stuff. I don't go to doctors. I don't like going to doctors. Because if a doctor tells me right now I can't have no more bacon or something, I'm like, well, man, I'm going to die.
On the way over here, I was listening to the comedy channel on Sirius Radio, and the comedian was a lady. I don't know what her name was. I never know really who anybody is, but she was talking about the fact that as she got older, she hit like 40, and like the day she woke up on 40, like her whole body was different. Everybody was saying like you got to go to the doctor's appointments and shit. She said she went to the doctor, and it was a big mistake. You know, as soon as you go to the doctor, you know they're gonna tell you everything that's wrong. You know, they told her, listen, you're pre-diabetic, you got to cut out the bacon, you got to do this, you got to do that, you can't eat this, you can't. And sometimes you just would rather live in that blissful ignorance.
Yeah, that's why.
The doctor told me I had to give the bacon, I'd be okay with it. But
nah, bro. I'm
not a big bacon fan.
I'm a huge bacon fan. I'm on my Diddy shit in this old age, man. Can't stop, won't stop. That is, I'm gonna do what I do. I told you, Rich, it's excess and recovery. That's where my life is right now. I don't do anything in moderation. Everything is excess and recovery.
I mean, we could all stand to be a little bit healthier, but I mean, we're already on a path, so.
I'm here. I just want to be happy. I just want to. Mm-hmm. I want to enjoy whatever time I have.
The one ride.
You only get one ride. All right, man. So we got to get the evil out. I got to celebrate a little bit. I do this once a month. I think I posted on Facebook. I celebrate Independence Day once a month. Every time I come out of that probation office. So I had my probation appointment today, and I'm here. I made it back home. Every time I come back home, I walk out of the probation office with Tupac in my head. I be straight out on bail, fresh out of jail, California Dream. Hey, nigga, that's the song I hear in my head every time I walk out that office, man. So yeah, I feel blessed that I made it through another probation appointment. I think I'm less than a year. I got less than a year to go. So got my fingers crossed everything goes well. Got to get this community service popping though. I'm going to tell you something that bothered me at probation today. They got this like these posters up in the waiting area while you're waiting for your officer to come get you. And they're all about like fixing messed up thinking or whatever like that. Whatever the thought processes were that you had that got you in a situation that you were in the probation office, like these posters are supposed to help you eliminate bad thinking and create good thinking. And one of the things on the bad thinking poster was uniqueness. And it says something like, thinking that you're unique and better than others. And it's like, while I understand that a little bit, I don't understand. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like,
yeah, the two, like, they're not married.
They're not married to one another, Chuck. Like, I should think that I'm unique. I feel like I should think that I am a unique individual and that there's nothing like me anywhere else. I wouldn't be doing this podcast if I didn't think I had something to say that nobody else could say.
But see, why is it the common misconception that when one person believes in themselves and uplifts themselves that they're downing someone? It doesn't make any sense.
I should be able to believe that I'm great without believing that you're not great, you know? Like, my belief, you know, it's like Black Lives Matter. Like, saying Black Lives Matter don't mean white lives don't. I'm just saying Black Lives Matter, you know. And so, yeah, I saw that today, and I was like, I do feel like I'm unique. And is that how I ended up here? Like, I don't think uniqueness had nothing to do with me getting drunk or trying to drive a motor vehicle. I really don't think it did. I think that's more not unique than anything else I do. I think there's plenty of people that have tried to do that and failed. So, I don't know. Man, what else is going on with me right now? I had the whole list pulled up and I moved away from it. Oh, you know what? I got to admit, I've been getting called out on my wrongness like a lot recently, like more than I'm comfortable with. Like, I really had to come to terms with like the shit that I say that's not factually true. So I do have to mention this, that I think on several episodes when we talk about the Colin Kaepernick issue, I've said that, you know, no reason Kaepernick shouldn't have a job when Johnny Manziel and Mark Sanchez have jobs. And I was wrong in that because Johnny Manziel does not have a job. I think I read a post that was an April Fool's joke that said the Saints had signed Johnny Manziel to a deal, and I never dug any further into it. Yeah. I just believe Johnny Manziel had a contract in the NFL, and I think I've been saying it ever since. Luckily today, on a post that my man Tavares of ttcharities.org posted, I was fact checked, and I was informed that Johnny Manziel actually does not have a job in the NFL. Don't know if it makes me feel better about Colin not having a job, but it is what it is.
Damn. You ever feel happy that somebody is like unemployed? that's evil. That's a hate. Bad
that's
way.
That's but we getting the evil out right now. That's the whole point.
He sucks.
He does suck. He does suck. Like that. But really, if Manziel was in the NFL, then there would be no excuse.
Yeah.
For Colin. So like, yeah, I think there may be some people who want to sign him and be like, nah, we can't sign him if we don't look at conifer. Nah, I'm just making that up. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, white boy isn't working, black boy isn't working. Are we square? No, we're not square. We're not square. I don't know. How do you feel about Colin still not having it? I think right now we got the situation where the Ravens are looking at him,
mm-hmm.
and it's becoming a big issue right now, like whether the Ravens are going to sign him or not.
It's like, I can understand why he doesn't have a job. But then it's like, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, you're trying to steer clear of the controversy, fine. But out of all the other controversy coming out of the NFL, this man, you know, stood up for his rights by not standing. Fine, whatever. He made a statement. Cool. You have dudes out here that are killing people, literally whooping their wives and girlfriends and fiancés' asses, dealing drugs, fucking beating dogs. And that's, like, okay. Like, you're taking these people back. But this man who's standing up for civil and equal rights, it's like, no, that's a... You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I heard a compelling argument today. Let me fix my mic because I don't think I'm talking correct. I heard a compelling argument today where that, not to say that Kaepernick is not talented, but his level of talent is not far enough above the next best player to have to deal with any of it. Like yeah. Vic and the dog situation, like, people would take Vic back because Vic was a once in a lifetime talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might take on that risk of a fan base that you will lose or ticket sales that you'll lose, because you might get those guys back once you start winning, because mm-hmm. you got this once in a lifetime talent on your roster. Whereas Kaepernick doesn't carry So the financials of the whole situation kind of makes sense. It's more of a risk than it is reward.
His talent doesn't trump his morals. I get it.
yeah, he doesn't have enough talent to be in a situation that he, you know, to do the things that he does. But I just wish, and I think the person that responded to my post today kind of, you know, tried to say that the owners are being honest without explicitly saying the truth. Mm-hmm. And I just wish someone would be strong enough to explicitly say, like, to say, we're not gonna sign him because, you know,
it is what it is. We just say it. It's the same thing with the racism in America. You know, just stop making me feel
like I'm crazy. Exactly.
Man, just say the shit.
Just say it.
Let's move forward from it. There's gonna be a little backlash for like a day, and then we gonna move forward. I'm not behind admitting racism. It's gonna be a lot more than a day. I'm talking about Kaepernick. No, the teams just need to say it so we can move forward. Stop the speculation.
Oh, man. All right. But awkward segue. We're going to move on to Dave Chappelle. Because I didn't even realize this was starting, like, right now. So Dave Chappelle is doing, like, a major run at Radio City Music Hall right now. Starting tonight. Let me see. Who is performing with him tonight? I think tonight is Dave Chappelle with The Roots, Ice Cube, Common, and Vince Staples. Now,
is definitely something I would want to see.
That sounds like a dope show. Because I've turned the corner on Vince Staples. Like, mm-hmm. before I actually heard any of Vince Staples' music, I just heard like shit that he said, and I was, you know, as like an old head hip hop fan, I wasn't happy with some of the comments that he made. But then after like actually listening to him talk and listening to some of his music, he makes good music. So I would definitely, you know, that's definitely a show I wouldn't mind seeing. I mean, not that I wouldn't mind seeing. I would love to see. But, you know, I'm a parent. I can't just run up to New York. Man, before I had kids. One day, Elise is going to understand this. Like, you know what? Tell me you hate me one more motherfucking time, man. Do you understand what I gave up when you entered this world? Like, before you came here, if I saw something like this and I wanted to go to New York for a weekend, I'm gone. I'm out. Now it's like, I can't go. And we're talking about a huge run. So we got Ice Cube, Common, and Vince Staples tonight. Big Boy and Usher coming up with The Roots. We got a couple of dates with Chris Rock, Erykah Badu, Chance the Rapper, Trevor Noah, Childish Gambino, Lauryn Hill, Solange, Yasin and Talib. He got Black Star reuniting.
Man, he got too many. There's too many hitters. There's too many hitters. That's crazy.
This is unprecedented. Like,
and then it's like, what night do you pick?
What night do you go?
It's one of those things, like, if I was still living in New York, undoubtedly, I'd have to hit that show at least 5 times.
What these tickets, let me see what these, tickets
are. At least 5 times. I'm definitely, I gotta see Yasin, I gotta see Lauren, Erica. This nigga got everybody, damn. Yeah.
I'm saying, and they not, the tickets ain't that bad. 150 for the mezzanine. I mean,
you throw away 150.
Yeah, I might could. I might. I mean, for that lineup, though.
I definitely pay.
I feel like Chance might could, you know, command 150 mm-hmm. by himself these days. Lauren.
Easy.
Easy.
So.
Yeah, you know I mean, you know. But you getting that and a comedy show? You bet.
So you know, this lineup takes me to one of our topics that we got coming up. But we're going to get to it. Full 44. It's making me think full 44 because these footnotes, these lineups have been crazy. I want to touch on this other topic real quick so that way we don't hit any time constraints. But all
right, so let's do that real quick so we can get to this the meat and potatoes here. Pause.
All right, so
I think everybody's heard about it by now. Oh, hopefully you heard about it. But this company in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. I think, had like a, was it over the weekend they did this?
Yeah, over the weekend.
They had like a party, like the microchip party.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, so it's voluntary right now. But basically,
I think only like 50 people did it so far or something like that.
But they don't have that. I mean, they had like 87 employees. Yeah, so. They got like, you know. But so basically they had a party to implant microchips into the employees as like their ID. So I think with the microchips, you can open doors,
mm-hmm.
you can buy stuff from the vending machines, log into your computer.
Yeah, so the microchips basically just take the place of their
ID card.
RFID ID cards. So anything you can previously do with your ID cards, like I'm still wearing mine right now, I get you into all your doors. Same thing this does. I don't know if I would have done it, but it speaks to where technology is going right now.
So all right, one, I want to tell a quick story because I did some James Bond type shit this morning. So I get to work, and so I thought I lost my badge last week. So I went to work, got a new badge. I am the person who issues the badges, so that's not like a huge mm-hmm. deal for me. So I got a new badge, and then over the weekend I found my old badge. And so I've been like living in the house with like my two badges sitting side by side on the dresser. Like I mean mm-hmm. to take the old badge back to work so I can decommission it or reissue it or whatever I need to do with the mm-hmm. old badge. So I get to work this morning and realize I clipped my old badge to my belt and I get to work before anybody else. Doors is locked. You know, I go to badge and I can't get in. So for a split second, I'm like, oh man, fuck it. I can't get in. What I'm going to do. So I go to the bathroom because that's where I do my best thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the bathroom. Figure I'm just gonna chill in the bathroom until somebody get here. I'm playing Crosswords with Friends or whatever the fuck that game is called.
I'm laughing because it makes me feel good that I'm not the only person. And you don't be sometimes you're using the bathroom, sometimes you're necessarily not using the bathroom, but ain't nobody gonna bother you if you're in the bathroom. No. So
that's why I went. So and then, luckily for me, because I do my best thinking in the bathroom, mm-hmm. is that while I was in there, I was like, I could VPN in from my phone, get to the badge server, turn my badge back on.
Mm-hmm.
So from my Android phone, in the bathroom stall, VPN'd in to my corporate network, logged into our badge server, added that badge back to my account, and then, you know, gave myself master level access, walked back into the building. I felt like real, like, on some yeah. James Bond type Italian job type shit. Like, I'm in the bathroom. And I just gave myself access back to the building. So, yeah.
But that was some Mission Impossible type shit.
Mission Impossible type shit. You know what I'm saying? But I say all that, you know. And my issue is with this is why does it need to be an implant? Like, mm-hmm. with all the other... First of all, we all know that RFID is not a... So far as I know, is not 100%... safe technology.
No, it's not. And
people walking around with RFID proof wallets to keep people from reading their credit card information out of their mm-hmm. pocket. Now you got a chip in your hand.
So every time you get somebody a handshake, it's like, What if I shake your hand and you got a receiver in your hand? You don't know what's going on.
What am I exchanging? So like, why does it need to be a chip? I mean, we got all these other biometric ways of identifying who you are: fingerprints, iris scanners, like face. We got, you know, advanced facial recognition. Like, why did it need to be a chip? Why can't I walk up to the vending machine and you do an iris scan and let me pay that way? Or you let me in the door with an iris scan, or you let me log into my machine with an iris scan. Mm-hmm. Like, why does it need to be a chip implanted in my hand like that? But this apparently has been going on in Europe for a while already.
So that's why I originally saw it last year. I saw a couple of people doing proof of concept. Saw one dude do it, activate it, and connect it directly to his Android Pay, and went to Starbucks, scanned his hand that read back to his Samsung Galaxy in his pocket to let him pay at Starbucks.
But why not?
But why? Exactly. Why? I'm not sure.
I want, like, does that mean that now instead of getting robbed, they're cutting your hand off? Yeah. I can't take your wallet, but I could take your hand, though, bro. Your entire hand.
Did you see, seen that movie? The Will Smith movie with Hancock. When the guy, did you see it? The guy was robbing a bank. And he had his hand on the detonator, so Hancock cut his hand off. There we go.
Yeah, I'm all for technology. I'm normally like bleeding edge, early adopter. You know, I bought the S8 day one. You know, I like to be, you know, in the forefront of technology, but this one I'm a little bit worried about.
So I believe in advancement for the betterment of technology and for the betterment of the race. But advancement for the sake of advancement, just to prove that you can do it, which is some shit like this, I can't get with it.
Yeah, they're saying there's no GPS. Not like they can track where they are. I mean, that's, you got to take somebody's word for that. But no GPS, you can't track where you are.
See, that's the first thing that I thought. Like, you know, they're going to be tracking them nonstop. Yeah. Oh, I know where you're not even at your desk.
How do I know you can't, like, tell my blood alcohol level and whether or not I've been sipping that?
Exactly, like, because it's a biometric device, and then because of the remote access feature of it, they can turn off and on any features that they want. They can upgrade it anytime they want. As soon as you cross the threshold of the job, it's RFID. You've now upgraded the firmware. You don't know what they're doing, so I just can't get with it.
If I had family or friends, and then I hate the fact that it came from a job, because when your job asks you to do something, you feel that slight additional pressure to do it. It's like, this is my job. Like, what if everybody does it and I don't do it? And then now I'm the only person at the job. I'm not a team player, or I'm not, you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't follow instructions or whatever. Like, I feel like the job doing it just made it that much more pressure to do it. And then, you know, the whole argument about the mark of the beast. I wasn't even going to get into all that. Yeah. But
so that's what I was about to go next, because what it makes me think of is, like, we're chipping humans now. Like, you know, it's people's jobs to actually go out here and chip animals.
Yeah.
All day, every day. Fucking. And like, now
that was one of the employees.
So we're the new cattle. Like,
that was one of the employees' reasons for not doing it, is that they felt like it was demeaning. Like, you put chips in dogs and cows and birds and shit that you want to track. Now you want to put a chip in me? Like, yeah, that was definitely one of the reasons that an employee gave for not doing it, is that they felt demeaned by it.
Yeah, I can't do it.
But yeah, I'm not. I don't know. So be on the lookout for this when people. I don't know. Let us know how you feel. Leave us a comment or something, and let us know how you feel about this RFID.
Yeah, to each his own. It's just not my thing.
I don't know. Sorry, people. I'm trying to adjust this mic. I feel like I'm not coming through clearly. Maybe I'm just hoarse. Whatever it is. Fuck it, though. That sounds better to me for some reason.
Right, boom. There we go.
All right. So let's get into it. Because I posted this on Facebook because I'm really... So, you know, no holds barred. Like, everything out on Front Street, I am a huge Jay-Z fan. Been a huge Jay-Z fan since Reasonable Doubt. Like, that was one of the first hip-hop records I ever heard. Now, it wasn't one of the first hip-hop records I ever heard, but that was one of the first records that made me, like, want to rap. Like, I was just in awe the first time I heard Reasonable Doubt. So I've been a huge Jay-Z fan for years. And then these last couple of Jay-Z albums have come, and, you know, I felt like he was falling off. You know, it wasn't vintage Jay-Z. I didn't hear that same wittiness, the same wordplay, the same skill level that I had heard, you know, in previous works. And then 444 came. And, you know, I'm still a Jay-Z fan. Happened to be a Sprint customer at the time. So I jumped on it, you know, fell in love with the album. And then, you know, and saw some backlash from it. It seemed like people are just ready to hate Jay-Z on anything that he does. And so there was some backlash, calling people sheep for listening to the positive message and, like, adjusting to be more positive in response to something Jay-Z said, which I thought was weird. I think I chronicled all that in my review of the album, episode something is back there. But then these footnote videos started coming out. Mm-hmm. And in these footnote videos, you know, he goes through his mindset when making the song and interviews other celebrities about the topic or whatever that song was. And I posted this on Facebook because I think this is some of the most compelling art I've ever been exposed to in my life. And I'm just hoping that people can look past the source, that people can somehow not get caught up in the fact that it's Jay-Z that's driving this, you know, driving this ship, and still get on board and just give it a listen and pay attention. Now, you know, I've played this stuff for my wife. I think you said, you know, you played it for your fiance. And I think once you get past the idea of who it is, like, it's some really compelling content. Mm-hmm. So I know he's done a footnote for The Story of OJ. He's done a footnote for 444, which is, you know, about his issues with infidelity and rebuilding a relationship with his wife. Done a footnote for Kill Jay-Z, which is more about the male ego or ego in general. And I think the last one I saw was the footnote for Adonis, which was the song dedicated to his late father. And to me, they're like therapy sessions, you know, for our generation. Like, I take a lot away from these things, and not just because it's Jay-Z and Jay-Z talking about stuff that's personal to him, but
it's because of the content.
The content, and when you look at the roster of people he's been able to recruit to be a part of these videos, like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, all right, so I've talked a lot, Rich. I'm gonna let you.
I mean, I'm along the same mind frame with this one. Like, I think that it's just ridiculous. One, first of all, I'm glad that you said art, because it's not just another album. It's not just another body of music, but it's art. You know, he's actually speaking towards people. He was able to elevate his mindset and reach back and share what he's learned. That's number one. Two, the roster of people that he was able to not only get to collaborate on these footnotes videos, but to be wholeheartedly and 100% real and open at the same time. It's like, you listen to it and you're like, oh shit, Will Smith is going through what I'm going through. You know, Chris Rock did what I did. So then you start to realize, not only, you know, are other men, you know, dealing with the same plights and the situations and trying to overcome what I'm overcoming, but it's these affluent people that you're looking up to like every day of your life. And you're always like, you know, if I had Will Smith's life, or if I had Chris Rock's money, or if I had the opportunities that Jay-Z had, maybe I can avoid these pitfalls. That's not the case. The pitfalls are always going to be there, because life is always going to be life. You know, the determining factor is, what do you do when you get thrown those curveballs? Like, how do you maneuver out of that space? And a lot of us are in situations where, you know, we haven't had our dads, or we haven't learned to love correctly, or how to have a relationship. And, you know, having these footnotes on how to be a man, how to be a person, and how to navigate life, this shit is fucking incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty dope. Like, and not only for me, like, it's like we were discussing earlier, like the fact that I can put on these, you know, put on these videos and show my wife that like the shit that I say to you about the struggles I'm having, you know, trying to figure out how to be affectionate or how to figure out how to be a husband or try to figure out how to be a father. Like when I come to you with these real thoughts that I'm having, and it's not just Jared Flanagan speaking. It's a societal
thing.
This is like the like you said, like the men that you may look at as the prototype husband has the same issue. Amari Hardwick has the same issues. Marshala Ali has the same issues. Anthony Anderson has the same issue. So not only is it freeing for me to know that like the men that I look up to, you know, have the same problems and I'm not crazy, but it also is evidence, you know, for my wife, like that he isn't crazy. Like, you know, like that men, even men that you think, I don't, for lack of a better word, are better than him had the same problem.
Exactly. At our core, you know, we're fighting the same demons. We're going through the same issues. And like I told you, like I played one of the 444. I played the 444 footnotes.
Yeah.
For my fiance Renee, and as she's watching it, like I'm like, watch, this is gonna be good. And like she's laughing, cause not laughing but smirking, like grinning, cause that she's saying, oh shit, he's in this, and oh shit, he's in this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you have to look past, you know, that initial, oh that's Chris Rock, oh that's Amari, oh that's Jay-Z, but listen to the content. And as she's listening to the words and she begins to internalize the words, like she's like, I'm across the room standing in the kitchen and she's looking over and looking back at me and she's like, you know, that was just us.
Yeah.
You know, this is our life. You know, that was your childhood. You know, this is what's going on. That's the same conversation that we just had, you know, oh, this is the ground space that we're in right now. How do we push forward? And then comes a person saying, you know, this is how I pushed forward. And she's looking at me and she's like, you know, the same thing you said. It's like, it's freeing, because in my mind, it's like, you don't set out to ever hurt the person that you're with.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that you may have had an indiscretion, or she may have had an indiscretion, or an argument, or a fight, or financial, or whatever the case may have been, to know that someone else has been in that space and has made it through is sort of freeing for you. But then, you know, it also at the same time, it lends credibility and validity to it, because it's like, I'm not the only person. And it is far supersedes like my presence and my stature in this world. Everyone is affected. So how do we get through this? And then the fact that, I know I'm talking a lot, but the fact that Jay-Z was able to bring this many people together, this many brothers together from this many different walks of life, and to have them be able to empower them to be able to be open and tell their stories so that brothers like you and I could feel this way. It's freeing.
Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing body of work when I look at it. And I just really hope this is one of those moments where we don't get caught up in that, you know, I don't like him, therefore I'm not going to pay no attention. I'm not going to give any validity to anything that he does. Like, you know, I don't know. But I mean, I've learned a lot from him.
You give 45 a chance to speak. You got to let Jay go.
But yeah, I mean, even beyond the like lending validity to things I already felt, like some of it has helped me take that next step, you know, in my thinking. Like I watched that Adnes footnote video, really like struck a chord with me.
And yeah, I gotta say it did hit home.
And it's like that very beginning part where, you know, he's talking about like how in the past, like all his songs have been, you know, fuck my father, this piece of shit, you know, like all the songs have been very judgmental and angry. And and then when he looked at, you know,
the circumstances
and that man's actual life, you know, it started to flip the coin a little bit. It started to show that maybe he was just a man like you, and made some bad decisions here and there, but those decisions had thought process behind them, and those decisions had a thought process behind them that you could probably relate to if you had a chance
and took the time to actually
have those conversations. Yeah. So. You know, it's like, and I don't know that exactly, you know, one to one fits my relationship with my father, but I feel like there probably are some gaps there where I don't No, he did marry my mother. You know, he did. I don't know what exactly made my father the man that he was, but I know that I'm not perfect, and that there are things that have gotten me here. Maybe he was one of them. Maybe his father was one of the things that created him. Exactly. And if we can, you know, if we can have that conversation and learn to understand each other, maybe we could, you know, mend some fences and build some relationships from there. But it kind of took hearing that from somebody, you know, of his stat, that you know, there's somebody else that you don't think of in those terms, you know, has gone through the same process that you're trying to go through. And here's where they ended up. And here's what they, you know, it's that age old kind of thing of getting past something and then caring enough to look back and tell somebody how you got there. You know, like not just being satisfied that you got there and letting everybody say, hey, I did it. You can do it, too. But I did it. You can do it, too. And here's how I did it. Here's the step. Here's everything I went through. Here's me being vulnerable and telling you exactly how I got from point A to point B.
And see, that's exactly. So the end of your post earlier, you said these footnotes videos are like group therapy for a generation of black men.
Yeah.
And when I first started seeing them, that's exactly how I felt. To your point that you just said, there, it's so empowering, and it's making it. It's okay for a man to be vulnerable. It's okay for a man to be emotional. It's okay for me to say how I feel and to be able to express myself. And for someone like Jay-Z to say these things, and for Anthony Anderson to say these things, and for Mahershala Ali to say these things, it's wholly empowering and it's wholly uplifting, and it's like, you know, a weight has been removed, and you can feel that paradigm shift within like yourself, you know, and I feel better for it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give, like, you know, like Jay-Z's not Deepak Chopra. I mean, now, you know, he's not changing the world, but this is. I just want people to give it a chance. Like, I just want. I saw so much immediate, like, backlash and hate when that album came out. Like, there were people who and Jay-Z even said it once. Like, he never really lent a lot of validity to reviews that came out, like, the day his album dropped or a week after his album dropped. Like, it takes way more time to, you know, really dissect and understand a body of work before you can start, you know, before you can really appreciate it. And as many people as there were that the day the album came out were like, greatest album of all time, there were other people who were, you know, oh, this is just a bunch of rhetoric and y'all are sheep. And all of a sudden Jay-Z says, treat your women better and you want to treat your women better. You know,
stupid ass argument.
It's a dumb ass argument. But it's like, you know, that was day one. Like, how could you already be there? And I'm like, you know, we've had some time with this album, and then there's more, like, you know, this is supporting material coming out for this album. Like, let's.
And I think that's what did it for me. Because I was one of those people. Like, I played the album, and I was like, okay, I think I see where you're going. I'm digging the music. Played it again, and it's like, okay, I'm picking up what you're putting down. You know, and I played it again, and it's like, it's really speaking to you.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder what, you know, your mindset was. Like, I wonder where you're trying to go with this. And then the motherfucker releases footnotes.
Yeah. You wonder what mindset was? Here you go. Like, here you go.
This is a really great follow-up. Like, this is.
I think I was listening to Dave Chappelle. He took over Ebro on earlier, like maybe late last week or earlier this week. And they've been asking him about it. And he was just like, you know, this is, you know, he's 44 years old. Like, this is music, you know, they can get into. It's like, hip hop for so long has been a young man's game because it wasn't old enough to have old men in it, you know. And now we're reaching that point where somebody can grow up, you know, in hip hop and become an elder statesman and still be relevant and now speak from that, you know, that point of looking back. I wonder sometimes if it's one of those albums that's going to be, you know, preaching to a choir, like the people that are going to get it, receive it and understand it are the people who are somewhat already on that journey or making that, you know, I'm at that age where I'm getting past some of those, you know, young thoughts, you know, and I was already on that journey. Like, is this going to turn somebody around that was going the other way? Right? Is it going to reach the youth? Like, somebody was saying, like, I heard somebody say on Facebook, I hope, you know, the youth are listening to this. And I'm like, I wonder if the youth would even get it. Like, I wonder if a young person would even understand it at this point. Or would they even give it enough of a listen to try to understand it? Like, is it just...
And see, the thing is you have to take it as a whole body of work. Because if you listen to 444 and then you listen to Footnotes, you understand the plight and the anger and the despair, and then you understand the thought process and the fix and you know what to do from there. Yeah. So if the younger generation, they may not understand Footnotes and they may not understand 444. But if you listen to the complete body of work, like, it brings it full circle.
Yeah. Like, one of the dopest things from the 444 Footnotes, like you said, he was talking about how, you know, he and Beyonce had built this relationship that was like a mansion, but it wasn't built on truth. And then it started to fall apart, and they had to make the decision, you know, to abandon it, you know, or rebuild it. And I think most of us reach a point like that in our relationships where, mm-hmm. you know, everything is, if most long-term relationships start out great. You don't get to long-term if it don't start out
exactly
great, you know. So most long-term relationships start out great. And along the way, something's going to happen that's going to dissolve a lot of that greatness. And in that moment, you have to decide if this is important enough to rebuild or you're going to walk away from. And then he said in that same moment that was the hardest thing, that they're rebuilding was the hardest thing he ever had to do. Yeah. And he's like, I'm from Marcy. I've been shot at, you know, I shot my brother. Like, I've been through
some shit.
And I'm telling you that by far, going through the process of trying to repair a relationship that I broke with my wife is the hardest thing I had to do. But then
That's real.
That is real. But it's that choice, like, you know, and that's... like I said, it's group therapy. Like, cause this whole thing about getting older and living as a man, to me, is all about these choices. Like, we need to understand where these choices came from. Like, what caused us to make bad decisions in the past, so that we can prevent ourselves from making bad decisions in the future. But it's choice. I think I've said it before on the show. Like, something being hard, or something being difficult, or something being scary, is never a good enough reason not to do it.
Not to do it.
Yeah, you got to make that choice to persevere through anyway. And that was brought up in the ad. I could go on and on.
And this was the first time I saw Adness when you played it, and I liked Adness. Like, we had our daddy issues show, so I've got my issues in it. And it forces you to think. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from these Footnotes videos. You know, we've been saying it for a while now. You know, things will never get better until we start having these conversations and acknowledging what has been done.
What's broken.
You know, what's broken, and what can we do to mend things and to fix them. And these Footnotes videos are... the start of the conversation, and it's forcing men, if you pay attention to it, to reflect and look at your own shit. Yeah. Like what's his name? I forget his name. That was on Get Out. You know, he said he prayed to God, and he was like, you know, show me the error of my ways. Like, what have I been doing? And he's like, all of a sudden, he just started playing back all of his fuck ups.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't realize what the fuck you've been doing. And it's like, I did this, and she forgave me. Like, I really gotta, you know, get my shit together. And whether that relationship works out or not, you know, in the end, you're a better man for it. I mean, you have to go through those things. But, you know, I think you have to have that conversation first, and you have to acknowledge what the fuck is going on, and realize your part in the shit that you're doing, you know, and then realize, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah. But ladies, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say that because I said this in my review of the album. Like, take a W when a W comes. Like, it don't matter what got that man to do right. But if something is getting him to do right, if something is moving him in a positive direction, mm-hmm. man, take that W with grace and enjoy it. Like, don't get mad because you've been saying it for years.
I hate that one.
I've been telling you need to do this shit for 35 years. And then Jay-Z said you're going to listen. Like, take your W. Just take a win. It's a win. Just take the win and enjoy it. Namaste or whatever. What the fuck does namaste mean? It's some peaceful shit. Right? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think that's
don't
the
pull
disconnect.
An L out of
yeah.
W. You know what
I mean? I feel like there should be a pause there. I don't know. But you're exactly right. You know, and people, you got to realize men and women are two different creatures. I can't tell you how to be a woman, and you can't tell me how to be a man.
Yeah.
You may see some shit, or you may have intuition and feel some shit, and you may give me your opinion, but another man telling me you're fucking up, this is what this is, holds more weight and is more valuable. And it's not because your opinion doesn't matter. That man is standing in my shoes.
And I mean, and that goes for, I'm saying it to ladies because I heard it a lot from ladies, you know, as far as the backlash.
I have never heard a guy say, I told you. Like,
there were some dudes that was like, y'all niggas, you know, like, you know, so-and-so been saying this, or I've been saying this, and all of a sudden Jay-Z said, y'all sheep. It's like, if your goal was to get people moving, like, if you trying to get people to go to the left, and you saying, go to the left, nobody listening. And then Rich stands up and says, go to the left.
Shit,
and
everybody starts going,
mission fucking accomplished. I ain't going to be like, oh, nah, y'all listening to Rich now? No, fuck, you wanted them to. So either your goal was to get them to go to the left.
That's the whole point of advertising.
And then you should be happy. Mm-hmm. Or your goal was to get them to listen to you.
Exactly. In which case, you're doing it for the wrong reason.
And now you're doing it for the wrong reason. And that's why you're mad. So just, you know, evaluate yourself. If something is making people go the direction that you wanted them to go in, and you mad about it, you got to think about that. You gotta evaluate your situation. Be the light, motherfucker. Oh, man.
And on that note,
like I said, it's a lot of darkness out there, motherfucker.
Be the light, people.
Be the light. Peace. All right. Peace.